Sports and Recreation reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loffrey. Lori Walsh is off today. Recreation in South Dakota is bountiful. Many things in this state catch our attention and allow us the freedom to explore its vastness. One of those things that we speak of is the various bike trails across the state. Larry Rohrer is the director of content for South Dakota Public Broadcasting and joins us today with another segment in this series. Larry, welcome back to In the Moment.
Yeah, I think Lori's avoiding me. Good to see you guys, though.
Let's talk about this series before we begin to get the listener caught up on what it is that we're doing here.
Well, it started off when I signed up with one of our colleagues here, Brian Gevick. We decided we would ride the 20th anniversary of the Mickelson Trail Trek, and that's in September. It's sponsored by Game Fish and Parks, and it's a three-day ride of basically the Mickelson Trail on bikes from Edgemont to Deadwood, about 109 miles total over 3 days. So when we were talking about that, we talked about other trails and other rides that we have, and I decided to go out with Brad Van Osdale, and he brought along a camera, and we would visit some of the bike trails around South Dakota, the urban bike trails, visit with the park directors, and just give you maybe a little hint that if you like to bike recreationally or otherwise, and you're traveling around to some cities, take your bike along. There's some great rides.
Last we met, you took us on a tour of the bike trail system in Yankton, and today we travel nearly 80 miles to the north, and we take a look at the Sioux Falls bike trail system. Tell us about your experience there.
Well, that's my hometown. I grew up there and really had a chance to see that whole River Greenway develop, and it's interesting. It's similar to Yankton, where there's this floodplain space around the river, which is in a circle, basically, along with the diversion channel in Sioux Falls. So to have access to that, and this space can't be residential or business anyway, they developed walking and biking trails, and it's really turned into, I think, a real asset and a draw. And it's another chance where there are bike trails where you don't have to be on the street with cars. And this is the main is a 19-mile loop. So when we decided to go up there, I got a hold of Don Kearney. Don is he's been park and recreation director for about 10 years in Sioux Falls. And Don, we sat down at Falls Park after our ride. Brian and I went up for a ride. We talked with Don there, and he said the park system, they've been going for nearly 100 years, and there's really quite a span of things happening in the Sioux Falls parks.
We have been in existence since 1915. With the Parks and Recreation Board actually just celebrated their 100th anniversary a couple years ago, and so we've been around for a long time. Over the years, we've had great community support to be able to do things like have 80 parks in the city of Sioux Falls. We've got, 20, 30 miles of bike trail that are really popular. We've got the Great Bear Recreation Park Incorporated, which is a nonprofit that helps us to manage our ski area. We partner with the Zoological Society to provide the Great Plains Zoo and Delbridge Museum. We've obviously got beautiful Falls Park, our city's namesake, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of recreation programs. We run a forestry program as well. And so we're pretty broad-based, diverse program, and in 2010, we became one of the first cities across the country to become accredited through the Commission for Accreditation of Parks and Rec Agencies, so we're really proud of that as well. You know, one of the things that we do get a little weather around here, people still have a thirst for recreation, and so with our partnerships with the Shields Iceplex and our partnerships with the Huther Match Point Tennis Center, we were able to provide a contribution to provide public access to those two privately run facilities. But we've just hit a home run with our new Midco Aquatic Center, which is our new facility at 26 and Western in town, and just exceeding all of our expectations. And so that's one of the trends. But one of the things that I would say that is more of the same is people have a great appreciation for having parks in their neighborhoods. We try to provide a park within a half mile of every residence. But the other thing that we see is the trail system continues to be very popular and probably our most popular amenity in our entire park system.
And that's Don Kearney, Director of Parks and Recreation. You can hear the falls in the background. We were over by the Queen Bee Mill visiting. And it's that bike trail system that with that loop that he talks about. For a long time, people would ask him how many people ride the bike trail. He didn't know. And when they actually found out, and it was just amazing how often it's used.
The trail system, it's made up of different parts. We have our loop trail system, which is 19, 20 miles, where you never have to cross a city street. You don't have to stop for a street light. It's very family friendly. And so that's what we call our trail loop. which really circles the core of our city. And then we have what we call the spurs, the areas where you can take a off-street trail from maybe the neighborhoods to get down to the bike trail, which consists of about another 10 miles. But then we have some off-road opportunities too, such as Leaders Park, where we have our single track bike trails, which really is more of that mountain biking and it meets the IMBA standards, the International Mountain Biking Association standards. And it was really a partnership with FAST, which is Falls Area Single Track, and just worked with them to provide another experience that we hadn't had before. And then we have our whole network of on-street city bike trail that the community can use for commuting or just getting to and from their homes to their work or whatever it might be. Invariably, everywhere I would go, people would ask me, well, how many people use the bike trail? And all I could really tell them was that, well, we know a lot of people use it. That's about all we had. We didn't really have any data on it. And so I was at a National Parks and Rec conference several years ago, and I ran into a vendor. They were called Eco Counters. And I said, how does this all work? And they had these installed in British Columbia. And I said, you know, what does it cost? And I was just shocked at how reasonable the cost was to install these. And so we actually went in and purchased six of these different stations, and it can tell whether you're a walker or a biker. And what we found is that during the first full year of operation, we had these six counters in, we were able to track nearly 1 million users on our bike trail system. It really confirms that the bike trail is a very popular amenity.
I've had the opportunity, Larry, to ride that trail several times, and I see new things every time I do it. That's part of its beauty, isn't it?
And it's been improved, too, particularly the original section. We've got a video piece online that shows us riding from about 57th and Western, west side of Yankton Trail, down towards downtown, and that section between Yankton Trail over to Tut Hill area, going over to Pasley Park, has been redone. It was the original part, just finished and improved. But that's one of the biggest things that they have to keep in mind, is they have all these miles. Some are new, some are old, and it takes a lot of maintenance and work to just to keep it available so we can all go.
You know, the nice thing about being down the river is pretty flat. And we acquired a lot of that land over the years because most of it's in the floodplain, and typically floodplain is flat. And so that's a great thing about our trail system, and all the new stuff that we do put in, it meets all the requirements of Americans with Disabilities. And so the slopes and the grades and the cross slopes that are associated with it really make it a family friendly, you know, really allows for people of all skills and abilities and ages to be able to use the trail system. But we also have a robust cyclic program to replace section of the trail where it needs to be wider, smoother. Sometimes we have sightline issues coming under some of the bridges and those types of things. And so our staff, our maintenance staff, we have a trail crew dedicated just to the bike trail. And they've essentially GPSed every crack that's out there, assessed its condition. And not that we have a lot of cracks, but we really want to make sure that we're on top of the maintenance of the bike trail system. We work hand in hand along with a volunteer group that gets together and advises as the bicycle club. To say, where are we going with our bike trail? Should we connect to T and Harrisburg and Brandon and some of these outlying communities so that we can have trail connectivity there? So that certainly is on the docket as part of our overall master plan. But, you know, I really envision being able to have bike trails on both sides of the river throughout town, but also continuing to expand out to those other communities. You know, we're trying to connect parks and retail and all the different points of interest that somebody might have, so you don't have to get into your car. You can just use the bike trail.
It was really interesting talking with Don Kearney, director of Sioux Falls Park and Recs. He's a user. Mm-hmm. He has a passion about the facilities that they have, but he mentioned time and again about the partnerships. And I always felt like I was at a NASCAR, and he was mentioning sponsors. But it was really interesting. Not only have they worked with some of the folks I mentioned earlier, with Great Bear and so forth, but the Ellman family contributed rest area services to the bike trail system. RASDAQ, which is the Ride Across South Dakota people, have done the same, a repair station for bikes. Shields kicked in a bunch of money for more rest and water access along the bike trails. And one other thing that they do on that bike trail, you're right along the river, they can actually regulate the water level, basically past the Pentagon, around the mall, downtown, and when they can divert or divert less water down the spillway, so they can keep enough in for kayakers and canoers. So and we thought, it's just right. And he said, no, that's just right by design. So they're really taking that greenway serious. It's a great ride.
I was just going to say that it's a comfortable ride as well.
Yes, yeah.
It really did do a nice job.
Well, and this whole project, this is one of those things I tell folks, well, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm not a spandex-wearing bicycle club person, and I really respect them because they're really into it and the technology and so forth. But this is really a casual, if you have a bike, go out for a ride. And Sioux Falls, like Yankton, is one of those where it's a real comfortable ride that you can go out with the kids or by yourself or take your time. And it's a fun ride. We've been having a good time.
In the very short amount of time we have left, Larry, what's next?
The next three Thursdays. This Thursday, we're going to be riding with Jeremy Herbolt around the trails in Watertown. There's, from the Redland, and there's trails through town all the way out to Lake Kampeska and around. And then the Thursday after, we're going to Pier to ride with some special guests. In Pier, along the Missouri River once again, and also through Hilger's Gulch, up by the Capitol Complex and up to the west, the northern part of Pier. And then the Thursday after, we'll be registering for and taking the three-day Mickelson Trail Ride. So we'll be back, and we'll take some pictures. And on our blog and also on our Facebook, we've got a video here of the first two rides and more to come.
Looking forward to it. STPB's Director of Content, Larry Rohrer, thanks for joining us today.
Okay, see you back.